Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today, we're going to tackle something pretty huge, pretty essential. We're talking self-reliance.
Ooh.
And, we're going to go beyond that whole cliche, like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps thing.
Yeah, we got to get deeper than that.
Exactly,
Okay.
exactly. So we've got a really interesting mix of sources today. We're going to be looking at a modern take on self-reliance, kind of through the lens of positive psychology.
Okay.
But we're also going to be diving into some wisdom from, the OG of self-reliance, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
The classic can't go wrong.
Right.
I'll
So
put that.
get ready, because we're going to have some big questions today. Like, can self-reliance actually make you happier? And is it even possible, like truly possible, in a world that's constantly telling us to, like, collaborate and be part of a team?
Yeah, it's an interesting tension for sure. On the one hand, we're told to be independent, forge your own path, but on the other hand, we're living in a world that's more connected than ever.
Right. So where do you even begin to unpack all of that?
Well, I think to really get a handle on this, we have to start by defining what self-reliance actually is. Because, it's a term that gets thrown around a lot, but what does it actually mean?
Yeah, because I mean, even like Merriam-Webster's, basic definition, reliance on one's own efforts and abilities, it just feels a bit, I don't know, surface level, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I think positive psychology offers a more nuanced perspective. It suggests that self-reliance is not just about, practical skills or being able to do everything by yourself.
Right.
It's about something deeper. It's about
Yeah.
drawing strength and fulfillment from your own kind of like internal resources.
So it's more about, like, I don't know, an inner confidence and a sense that you can handle whatever life throws your way.
Exactly. It's that belief in yourself and your ability to make sound decisions even when things get tough.
Okay. So to really understand where these ideas come from, I think we need to take a little trip back in time. Maybe we got to meet the OG of self-reliance, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Emerson, he really did popularize this whole concept back in the 1800s.
Oh yeah, he totally did. And it's funny, a lot of people might not even realize that, like, he's the guy who made this idea so central to, like, American thought.
Oh, absolutely. He was an American philosopher, a poet. And he had this really powerful argument that society, with all its rules and expectations, could actually like stifle our individuality. And his iconic essay, you probably heard of it, Self-Reliance, it became this rallying cry for people to really like trust their intuition and forge their own path.
Yeah, like, don't just follow the crowd. Think for yourself.
Exactly. And that takes a lot of courage, especially when you're surrounded by people who might not agree with you or might even like try to discourage you. And that's something that our modern positive psychology article really brings to life. It gives us some really concrete examples of self-reliance in action.
Ooh, yeah. I love a good example. Give me one.
All right, so picture this. There's a young woman, her name's Bella. She dreams of being a poet.
Okay.
But both of her parents are lawyers and they have other plans for her,
Right.
But despite all that pressure, she chooses to pursue her passion. So that right there, that's embracing individuality.
It takes guts to defy expectations, especially when it's like your family,
Oh, it does. And it doesn't stop there. You see, Bella doesn't just dream about poetry. She takes action.
Okay.
She finds opportunities like workshops and stuff, and she hones her craft. So it's not just about thinking independently, right? It's about taking those thoughts and turning them into purposeful action.
So it's not just some, abstract concept. It has, like, real world tangible implications.
Yeah, it's about equipping yourself to navigate the complexities of life with, confidence and authenticity.
Okay, so we kind of have a handle on what self-reliance is, what it looks like in action, but why should we even care? Like, what's in it for us?
That's the big question, isn't
Yeah.
it? Well, besides the obvious, being able to handle things on your own, self-reliance has some pretty profound effects on your well-being and even your happiness.
Okay, see, that's where it gets really interesting for me. Tell me more.
So, for one, it's essential for problem solving and decision making. Those are like life skills we all need, right? Especially as we become more independent.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, when you trust your own judgment, you're more likely to take initiative to find solutions on your own.
Exactly. And it goes deeper than that. See, self-reliance is linked to inner happiness.
Okay.
It's about finding contentment within yourself, not relying on external validation or, like fleeting sources of pleasure.
It was about, like, cultivating that inner security, not being so swayed by what other people think.
You got it. And as you build self-reliance, you also deepen your self-acceptance and self-knowledge, which are, like, essential for emotional well-being, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's like that saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. You know, if you're not taking care of your own needs, nurturing your inner strength, well, you're not going to have much to give to others.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that analogy. It's really about filling your own cup first so you can, you know, then share your gifts and strengths with the world.
Okay. So how do we actually cultivate this self-reliance thing? Like, are we born with it or can we learn it?
That's a good question. I think it's kind of both. We all have some innate capacity for self-reliance, but it's definitely a skill that can be, you know, developed and strengthened over time.
Okay.
And luckily, our sources give us some practical advice on how to do that. Like the Positive Psychology article, it features some great insights from a mental health counselor, Mandy Kloppers.
Okay, so what does she say? What's the advice? I'm all about, like, the actionable steps. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she really emphasizes self-acceptance and inner confidence, yeah. You know, recognizing and appreciating your strengths, your accomplishments, kind of being your own best friend.
Oh, it's so easy to fall into the trap of self-criticism, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And we have to be more intentional about celebrating those wins, even the small ones.
Right, right.
And she also points out the importance of making your own decisions.
Okay.
You know, recognizing when you tend to over-rely on others and making a conscious effort to practice independent decision-making, even in small things.
Like what kind of small things are we talking
about? Oh, you know, think about things like choosing what you're going to have for dinner. Or what book you're going to read,
yeah.
Or even what you're going to wear that day.
Yeah.
You know, they might seem insignificant, but they're opportunities to flex those self-reliance muscles.
So it's like building up that confidence in your own judgment, even in everyday situations.
Yeah, exactly. And the more you practice making those choices, the more comfortable you'll become trusting your gut.
Okay, what else does she, what else does Mandy Kloppers suggest?
She also emphasizes the power of accepting yourself for who you are, flaws and all. You know, it's about giving yourself that approval rather than constantly seeking it from other people. It's a way of breaking free from that need for external validation.
Yeah, this idea of self-acceptance as like a key ingredient in self-reliance is really resonating with me.
Yeah, it's a powerful shift in perspective. Now, Emerson, being Emerson, he offers a slightly different angle, but it complements what Kloppers is saying quite nicely.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What's his take on building self-reliance?
Well, he really focuses on the importance of having your own values. Not just adopting, you know, the values of society or the people around you, but really figuring out what matters most to you.
So it's about getting clear on what you believe in, what your principles are, and then, like, actually living in alignment with those things.
Exactly. And he believed that this leads to a much stronger sense of self and greater fulfillment. He also cautioned against, you know, relying too heavily on material possessions for happiness. He felt that chasing, you know, external things created this shaky foundation for well-being because, you know, things come and go.
Right. It's about finding that inner stability that isn't dependent on outside circumstances, right?
Exactly. And finally, you know, Emerson emphasizes the power of deciding who you want to be and how you want to get there. It's about taking ownership of your life and making choices that reflect your deepest aspirations.
That's a powerful message. It's about recognizing that we have agency, that we have the power to shape our own destinies.
And that, right there, that's the essence of self-reliance.
Okay, so far we've been talking about self-reliance in adults, but what about kids? How do we help them develop this crucial quality?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I immediately think of all those parenting books about raising, you know, independent children.
Right, right.
And our sources actually offer some insights into how to nurture self-reliance in kids. They highlight the importance of starting with, like, age-appropriate skills, things like problem solving, making rules during play, you know, creating schedules, managing their time, making friends,
right,
completing tasks, tidying up, and even knowing when to ask for help.
Oh, that last one's interesting. Asking for help seems kind of counterintuitive to self-reliance, doesn't it?
It might seem that way, but think about it. You know, recognizing when you need help and being able to ask for it, that demonstrates, like, self-awareness and a willingness to learn and grow. It's not about doing everything solo. It's about knowing your limits and seeking support when necessary.
So it's about finding that balance between independence and interdependence.
Exactly. It's like that sweet spot, you know, that Vygotsky, the famous developmental psychologist, he called it the zone of proximal development.
Oh, yeah.
Where kids can learn and grow with a little bit of help from adults.
Okay, so we've got the, like, building blocks, but what about, like, specific activities? Like, what can parents and educators actually do to foster self-reliance in kids?
Well, our sources have some fun ideas. One activity is called I Am and I Can.
Okay.
It's perfect for younger children. It encourages them to identify and celebrate their strengths and their capabilities.
So how does that work?
So imagine kids drawing an outline of their bodies, you know?
Okay.
And then they fill it in with words and pictures that represent their talents, their positive qualities.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's visual, it's engaging, and it's a great way for kids to boost their self-confidence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's about recognizing all the amazing things they can do.
Yeah.
And then another activity, it's called getting organized, and it encourages kids to create their own timetables for achieving goals.
Okay.
This could be like simple chore charts or more complex, you know, project plans, depending on their age.
Well, that's fantastic. That's a great way to teach them about responsibility, planning, and that satisfaction of accomplishment, right?
Absolutely. It gives them a sense of control over their own lives.
Yeah.
And then for teenagers and older children, there's an activity that focuses on creating a personal mission statement.
Okay.
And it guides them in articulating their values, their aspirations, you know, what they hope to achieve in life.
Hmm. Now, how does a mission statement connect to self-reliance?
Well, it prompts them to ask themselves some pretty thought-provoking questions, like, what are my strengths? What do I care about most? What kind of impact do I want to have on the world? So these questions encourage like deeper self-reflection.
Okay.
And it helps them define their values and goals, which are, you know, key components of self-reliance.
Right.
And for those who want to, you know, explore this further, there's a great resource from Humboldt State University that provides a framework for creating a personal mission statement. So if you're interested, definitely check that out.
That's awesome. It's so cool that there are all these like resources out there to help people, you know, of all ages to cultivate self-reliance.
There really are. And you might be wondering, is there a way to actually measure something as nuanced as self-reliance?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes. There's a tool called the Self-Reliance Scale, or SRS for short.
Okay. Tell me more about this scale. Like, how does it work?
So therapists and educators, they sometimes use this scale. It's actually part of a larger assessment. It's called the Behavior Assessment System for Children, or BSC3.
Okay.
And it helps them evaluate self-reliance in children and teens.
What kind of like statements does the scale use to measure self-reliance?
It includes things like, I am someone you can rely on, or I can solve difficult problems by myself. I am good at making decisions.
Hmm. Those statements really capture like the core elements of self-reliance.
Yeah.
That sense of responsibility, that confidence in your own abilities, and that willingness to be helpful and dependable.
Exactly.
We've been talking a lot about, you know, the practical applications of self-reliance, but I have a feeling there's like a deeper philosophical layer to all of this, right?
Oh, absolutely. And to understand that deeper layer, we need to explore the fascinating connection between self-reliance and the transcendentalist movement.
All right, I'm officially hooked. Let's let's talk transcendentalism.
Okay. So transcendentalism might sound kind of intimidating, but it's actually a really interesting intellectual movement that emerged in New England back in the early 1800s.
Okay.
And you guessed it. Our friend Ralph Waldo Emerson was a key figure in this movement.
Okay, give me the gist. What exactly is transcendentalism?
So at its core, it emphasizes the inherent goodness of people and nature.
Okay.
It argues that society, with all its rules and expectations, can actually like corrupt individuals, leading them away from their true selves.
Sounds like they were big on individuality and thinking for yourself.
You got it. They believed that each person has this unique inner light, like a divine spark.
Nope.
And that by nurturing this inner light, we can live more authentic and meaningful lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And they also stressed intuition and personal experience, you know, over blindly conforming to societal norms.
This is really resonated with me. It's about recognizing like the inherent worth and potential within each of us, right?
Exactly. That's a core principle of transcendentalism.
Okay, so where does self-reliance fit into all of this?
Well, remember Emerson's argument that society can stifle our individuality?
Yeah.
So self-reliance is the key to breaking free from those constraints. It's about trusting your own judgment, making your own choices, and living in accordance with your own values, even if, you know, they differ from what society is dictating.
So transcendentalism is like the philosophical foundation for self-reliance.
You could say that.
Like it provides a broader context for understanding why it's so important. It's not just about being independent or capable. It's about tapping into that inner wisdom and living a life that aligns with our true selves.
That's a great way to put it. And you know, when you think about the challenges that we face today, information overload, societal pressures, that constant need for validation, self-reliance feels more relevant than ever.
It's like an antidote to all the chaos and uncertainty of modern life.
Right.
But we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves. Before we jump into like the modern day implications, let's circle back to Emerson for a moment.
Okay.
I'm curious to hear more about his like specific ideas for cultivating self-reliance.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Because you know, he had some pretty strong opinions about how we should live our lives. Like where do we even begin with that?
Well, he believed that true self-reliance starts with a deep understanding of your own values. You know, not just blindly accepting what society or your family tells you, but figuring out what truly matters to you.
So it's about defining your own moral compass.
Exactly.
Not letting others dictate your beliefs.
And once you have that internal compass, Emerson argued that you need to have the courage to live by those values, even if it means, you know, going against the grain.
Oh, and that can be tough,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
Especially in a world where fitting in often feels easier than standing out.
Oh, it can be. But Emerson believed that true fulfillment comes from aligning your actions with your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
He also warned against relying too heavily on, you know, material possessions for happiness.
Yeah.
He felt that, you know, chasing external things was a recipe for disappointment because those things can be fleeting.
It's like that old saying, you can't buy happiness. True contentment comes from within, right?
Precisely. And that inner contentment is a byproduct of self-reliance. It's about finding satisfaction in your own, you know, growth and accomplishments, not relying on external validation or approval.
Okay, so Emerson was all about inner strength and living authentically.
Yeah.
But he wasn't just a philosopher spouting, you know, lofty ideas, right? Like, did he offer any practical advice on how to actually cultivate self-reliance?
Oh, he did. In fact, one of his core messages was the importance of taking action.
Mm.
You know, he believed that self-reliance isn't just a state of mind, it's a way of being in the world.
Yeah.
It's about actively engaging with life, pursuing your goals, and making choices that reflect your values.
So it's not just about, you know, thinking for yourself. It's about taking those thoughts and turning them into something tangible.
Exactly. Emerson believed that action was the key to unlocking your full potential.
Sure.
He encouraged people to embrace challenges, to step outside their comfort zones, and to never stop learning and growing.
This reminds me of something we touched on earlier.
Yeah.
That modern positive psychology perspective on self-reliance. It seems like there's a lot of like overlap between Emerson's ideas and what like mental health professionals are saying today.
There is.
Yeah.
And that's what's so fascinating about this topic. Self-reliance is this concept that has resonated throughout history.
Mm.
And it continues to be relevant in our modern world.
So we've explored the historical and philosophical roots of self-reliance.
Mm.
Now let's bring it back to the present day. Like how does it play out in our hyper-connected, always-on world?
That's a great question. In some ways, our modern world makes it even more challenging to cultivate true self-reliance.
Mm.
You know, we're bombarded with messages telling us, you know, what to buy, how to look, what to think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy to lose sight of your own internal compass amidst all that noise.
It's like we're constantly being pulled in a million different directions.
Right.
And it can be tough to find that sense of grounding.
Exactly. And that's why self-reliance is more important now than ever, I think. It's about having the strength to filter out those external pressures and stay true to yourself.
So it's not just about being independent or capable.
Right.
It's about having the discernment, the wisdom to navigate the complexities of modern life without losing your sense of self.
Precisely. And that's where some of those practical tips from Mandy Kloppers, the mental health counselor you mentioned earlier, those come into play.
Right.
You know, her advice offers a roadmap for building that inner strength and resilience in a world that can often feel overwhelming.
Okay, so let's revisit some of those practical steps. Like, what are some tangible things our listeners can do to strengthen their self-reliance muscles in today's world?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, Kloppers emphasizes the importance of self-acceptance. It's about embracing who you are, flaws and all, and recognizing your inherent worth.
It's about silencing that inner critic and cultivating a more compassionate, you know, inner voice.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that you are enough just as you are. And well, from that place of self-acceptance, you can then start to build your inner confidence.
Well,
this involves celebrating your accomplishments, both big and small, and focusing on your strengths rather than dwelling on your weaknesses.
It's like building a foundation of self-love and self-belief.
Wow.
And that foundation is essential for navigating the ups and downs of life without losing your sense of self.
Absolutely. And another key step is practicing, you know, independent decision making.
Okay.
This doesn't mean that you never ask for advice or feedback, but it does mean being more intentional about trusting your own judgment.
So it's about becoming more comfortable making choices that align with your values and your goals, even if they're not, you know, the choices everyone else is making.
Precisely. And this can be as simple as choosing what to eat for dinner or what book to read, or as significant as, you know, deciding on a career path or a relationship. It's about building that muscle of self-trust in all areas of your life.
So self-acceptance, inner confidence, independent decision making, these are all the key components of building self-reliance in a modern world. But there's one more piece of the puzzle that we haven't really explored yet.
Mm.
And that's the role of relationships.
Yeah.
You know, we mentioned earlier that self-reliance isn't about isolating yourself or becoming a lone wolf.
Right.
Like, how do our relationships play into all of this?
That's a great question. And it's an area where Emerson's views might seem a bit contradictory at first glance.
Okay.
You know, while he championed individuality and self-reliance.
Right.
He also recognized the importance of connection and community. He believed that true self-reliance wasn't about rejecting relationships, but about choosing them wisely and engaging in them, you know, authentically.
So it's about surrounding yourself with people who support your growth.
Yeah.
And encourage you to be your best self.
Exactly. And it's also about recognizing that you don't have to, you know, agree with everyone or conform to their expectations to maintain those relationships.
Mm.
It's about having the confidence to be yourself, even it means, you know, standing out or holding different viewpoints.
This makes me think of the example of Bella, the aspiring poet who chose to follow her passion despite her parents' expectations.
Yeah.
You know, her decision to pursue her own path probably caused some friction in her family relationships.
Yeah. It probably did, but yeah. But imagine if she had, you know, suppressed her dreams to please her parents. It's likely she would have ended up, you know, resenting them and feeling unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, true self-reliance sometimes it requires us to make difficult choices that might not be, you know, popular with everyone.
Right.
But ultimately those choices lead to greater authenticity and personal growth.
So it's about finding that balance, mm-hmm, between between honoring your own needs and desires,
yeah,
while also maintaining, you know, healthy and supportive relationships.
Exactly. It's a delicate dance,
yeah.
but it's one that becomes easier as you cultivate that strong sense of self and trust in your own judgment.
So far, we've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, you know, we have.
From the philosophical underpinnings of self-reliance to practical tips for building it in our daily lives.
It's been quite a journey.
It has. But before we wrap up, I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier. The idea that self-reliance is more relevant than ever in today's world.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Absolutely. So we live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with information, opinions, expectations. It can be really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And make it difficult to discern our own thoughts and feelings.
Right.
Self-reliance provides an antidote to that noise. Mm. It allows us to filter out the distractions and focus on what truly matters.
So it's like a shield,
yeah,
that protects us from the chaos and the pressures of modern life.
It is, and it's also a compass that helps us navigate the complexities of our world without losing our sense of direction.
Mm-hmm.
In a world that often feels like it's spinning out of control, self-reliance provides a sense of grounding and stability.
I think that's a powerful message for our listeners to take away from this deep dive. You know, self-reliance isn't just about being independent or capable. It's about cultivating that inner strength and resilience to navigate the challenges of our modern world while staying true to ourselves.
Exactly. And it's a journey, not a destination.
Yeah.
It's something we can all continue to work on and cultivate throughout our lives.
I love that. Now, before we move on to the final section of our deep dive, I want to pause and ask you, our listener, a question. What aspects of self-reliance really resonate with you? Like what challenges do you face in cultivating this quality in your own life? We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely share those with us. And speaking of challenges, you know, we've been talking a lot about the benefits of self-reliance, but I think it's also important to acknowledge that there can be some potential downsides.
Oh, okay. Like what?
Well, you know, like most things in life, too much of anything can be detrimental, right? And self-reliance is no exception. If you take it to the extreme, it can morph into something, you know, isolating and unsustainable.
So where's that like tipping point? Like when does self-reliance become a negative thing?
Well, you know, if you're so focused on doing everything yourself that you refuse to ask for help or accept support from others, then you're really missing out on the richness of human connection.
Right, right. It's like that old saying, no man is an island. Right. Mm-hmm. We're social creatures. We need that connection, yeah, that support.
Exactly. Healthy self-reliance. It's not about rejecting help or refusing to rely on others. It's about recognizing your own strengths and capabilities while also acknowledging your limitations and knowing when to ask for support.
So it's about striking that balance, right, between, yeah, independence and interdependence.
Exactly. Think of it as a spectrum. You know, on,
yeah,
one end you have complete dependence on others, relying on them for everything.
Right.
And on the other end, you have complete isolation, you know, trying to do everything yourself and never seeking help.
So healthy self-reliance is somewhere in the middle.
Right. It's about finding that sweet spot.
Okay.
Where you trust your own judgment,
yeah,
you're comfortable making your own decisions and you're capable of taking care of yourself. But you also recognize the value of connection and support, and you're not afraid to ask for help when you need it.
This makes me think about parenting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we want to raise kids who are independent and self-sufficient,
yeah,
but we also don't want them to feel like they have to like go through life alone.
Right.
But it's about equipping them with the skills and the confidence to navigate the world, but also letting them know that it's okay to lean on others when they need to.
That's a perfect example. Think back to those activities we were discussing for fostering self-reliance in kids.
Yeah.
Remember how we talked about, you know, asking for help as being an important skill?
Right, right.
It might seem counterintuitive, but it's a crucial aspect of healthy self-reliance.
It's about recognizing that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And that sometimes we need a little help from from our friends, family, or even professionals.
Absolutely. And knowing when and how to ask for help, that's a sign of strength, not weakness.
Okay, so we've established that healthy self-reliance is about balance.
Yeah.
But how do you know if you've, you know, tipped too far in one direction or the other? Are there any like red flags to watch out for?
That's a great question. One red flag that you might be, you know, leaning too heavily on others is if you find yourself constantly seeking, you know, approval or validation from others before making any decisions.
So if you're always second guessing yourself and looking to others for reassurance, that could be a sign that you need to work on building your self-trust.
Exactly. Another red flag is if you're constantly feeling overwhelmed or stressed because you're trying to do everything yourself and you're never delegating tasks or asking
so
for help.
It's like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Right.
And not allowing others to share the burden.
And then on the flip side, a sign that you might be isolating yourself too much is if you find yourself withdrawing from social interactions or avoiding, you know, opportunities to connect with others.
So if you're constantly turning down invitations or making excuses to avoid spending time with people,
yeah,
that could be a sign that you're leaning too far into that lone wolf mentality.
Exactly. Remember, humans are social creatures. We thrive on connection and belonging. Even the most self-reliant individuals, they need supportive relationships to truly flourish.
Okay, so we've talked about, you know, the potential pitfalls of too much or too little self-reliance.
Right.
But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about the benefits.
Yeah.
We've touched on this throughout our deep dive, but I'd love to hear your perspective on the like the most significant ways that self-reliance can actually like enhance our lives.
Yeah, well, one of the most profound benefits, I think, is that it fosters this sense of inner peace and contentment. You know, when you trust yourself and your abilities, you're less likely to be swayed by external pressures or opinions.
It's like you're creating a buffer right, between yourself and all the chaos of the world.
Precisely. And that inner stability, it leads to a greater sense of calm and well-being. You're no longer constantly seeking, you know, validation or approval from others because you've found it within yourself.
That's a powerful shift.
It is.
And I imagine it has like ripple effects in all areas of your life.
Absolutely. Another key benefit is that self-reliance boosts your resilience.
Okay.
You know, when you believe in yourself and your ability to overcome challenges, you're more likely to bounce back from setbacks and persevere in the face of adversity.
So it's like building that mental toughness that allows you to handle whatever life throws your way.
Exactly. And when you know you can handle things, you're more likely to take risks.
Yeah.
You know, to step outside your comfort zone and to pursue your goals with greater confidence and determination.
It's like that sense of empowerment unlocks your potential.
Yeah.
And allows you to achieve things that you might have thought were impossible.
That's a great way to put it. And finally, you know, self-reliance can lead to a deeper sense of purpose and meaning in your life.
Okay, how so?
Well, when you're clear about your values and you're living in alignment with them, your actions become more intentional and your choices become more fulfilling.
It's like you're living a life that is true to yourself.
Yeah.
Not just going through the motions or trying to please others.
Exactly. And that authenticity, it leads to a deeper sense of purpose and satisfaction. You feel like you're making a difference, not just in your own life, but in the world around you.
Wow, we've covered so much ground in this deep dive, from the historical roots of self-reliance to the practical steps for cultivating it in our daily lives. It's been an incredible, incredible journey.
It has. And what's so exciting is that, you know, this is just the beginning. The journey of self-reliance is a lifelong pursuit, and there's always more to learn and explore.
I think that's a great note to to end on. The quest for self-reliance, it's an ongoing adventure.
It is.
And it's one that we can all embark on regardless of our age or background or circumstances.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you, our listener, with a final thought. What one small step can you take today to strengthen your self-reliance muscle? Perhaps it's making a decision without seeking, you know, external validation or setting a boundary in a relationship or simply taking a few minutes to reflect on your values and your goals. Whatever it is, you know, embrace the journey and trust in your own ability to navigate it with confidence and grace. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive. You know, as we wrap up this deep dive into self-reliance, I'm curious, is there ever a point where someone could be too self-reliant?
Oh, that's a great question. And it really highlights the importance of balance. Like most things in life, you know, too much of anything can be detrimental.
Yep.
And self-reliance is no exception.
So where's that tipping point? Like when does self-reliance actually become a negative thing?
Well, I think if you take self-reliance to the extreme, it can morph into something, you know, isolating and unsustainable. Remember, we're not meant to go through life completely alone.
It's like that old saying, no man is an island. We're social creatures. We need connection, we need support.
Exactly. Healthy self-reliance, it's not about rejecting help or refusing to rely on others.
Right.
It's about recognizing your own strengths and capabilities.
Okay.
While also acknowledging your limitations and knowing when to ask for support.
So it's about finding that balance, right? Between between independence and interdependence.
Exactly. Think of it as a spectrum.
Okay.
You know, on one end you have complete dependence on others, relying on them for everything.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And on the other end you have complete isolation.
Yeah.
You know, trying to do everything yourself and never seeking help.
So healthy self-reliance is somewhere in the middle of that.
Right. It's about finding that sweet spot where you trust your own judgment, you're comfortable making your own decisions.
Right.
And you're capable of taking care of yourself.
Right.
But you also recognize the value of connection and support.
Yeah.
And you're not afraid to ask for help when you need it.
This makes me think about parenting. You know, we want to raise kids who are independent and self-sufficient, but we also don't want them to feel like they have to go through life like alone, right?
Good.
So it's about equipping them with the skills and the confidence to navigate the world, but also letting them know it's okay to lean on others when they need to.
That's a perfect example. Think back to those activities we were discussing for fostering self-reliance in kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember how we talked about asking for help as being an important skill?
It
might seem counterintuitive, but it's a crucial aspect of healthy self-reliance.
Yeah, it's about recognizing that we're all in this together, and that sometimes we need a little help from our friends, family, or even, you know, professionals.
Absolutely. And knowing when and how to ask for help, that's a sign of strength, not weakness.
Okay, so we've established that healthy self-reliance is about balance.
Yeah.
But how do you know if you've, you know, tipped too far in one direction or the other? Like are there any red flags to watch out for?
That's a great question. One red flag that you might be, you know, leaning too heavily on others is if you find yourself constantly seeking, you know, approval or validation from others before making any decisions.
So if you're always, you know, second guessing yourself and looking to others for reassurance, that could be a sign that you need to work on building your self-trust.
Exactly. Another red flag is if you're constantly feeling overwhelmed or stressed because you're trying to do everything yourself and you're never delegating tasks or asking for help.
Right. It's like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders and not allowing others to share the burden.
Right. And on the flip side, a sign that you might be isolating yourself too much is if you find yourself, you know, withdrawing from social interactions or avoiding, you know, opportunities to connect with others.
So if you're constantly turning down invitations or making excuses to avoid spending time with people, that could be a sign that you're you're leaning too far into that lone wolf mentality.
Exactly. Remember, humans are social creatures. We thrive on connection and belonging.
Yeah.
Even the most self-reliant individuals, they need supportive relationships to truly flourish.
Okay, so we've talked about the potential pitfalls of too much or too little self-reliance, but let's shift gears for a moment and talk about the benefits. We've touched on this throughout our deep dive, but I'd love to hear your perspective on the most significant ways that self-reliance can actually enhance our lives.
Yeah, well, one of the most profound benefits, I think, is that it fosters this sense of inner peace and contentment. You know, when you trust yourself and your abilities, you're less likely to be swayed by external pressures or opinions.
It's like you're creating that buffer between yourself and the chaos of the world.
Precisely. And that inner stability, it leads to a greater sense of calm and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer constantly seeking validation or approval from others because you've found it within yourself.
That's a powerful shift.
It is.
And I imagine it has ripple effects in all areas of your life.
Absolutely. Another key benefit is that self-reliance boosts your resilience.
Yeah.
You know, when you believe in yourself and your ability to overcome challenges, you're more likely to bounce back from setbacks and persevere in the face of adversity.
So it's like building that mental toughness that allows you to handle whatever life throws your way.
Exactly. And when you know you can handle things, you're more likely to take risks. To step outside your comfort zone and to pursue your goals with greater confidence and determination.
It's like that sense of empowerment unlocks your potential and allows you to achieve things that you might have thought were impossible.
That's a great way to put it. And finally, self-reliance can lead to a deeper sense of purpose and meaning in your life.
Okay, how so?
Well, when you're clear about your values and you're living in alignment with them, your actions become more intentional and your choices become more fulfilling.
It's like you're living a life that's true to yourself, not just going through the motions or trying to please others.
Exactly. And that authenticity, it leads to a deeper sense of purpose and satisfaction.
Mm.
You feel like you're making a difference, not just in your own life, but in the world around you.
Wow. We've covered so much ground in this deep dive.
We have.
From the historical roots of self-reliance to the practical steps for cultivating it in our daily lives. It's been an incredible journey.
It really has. And what's so exciting is that this is just the beginning, right?
Wait.
The journey of self-reliance is a lifelong pursuit, and there's always more to learn and explore.
I think there's a great note to end on. The quest for self-reliance is an ongoing adventure.
It is.
And it's one that we can all embark on regardless of our age, our background, or our circumstances.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you, our listener, with a final thought. What one small step can you take today to strengthen your self-reliance muscle? Perhaps it's making a decision without seeking external validation or setting a boundary in a relationship or simply taking a few minutes to reflect on your values and your goals. Whatever it is, you know, embrace the journey and trust in your own ability to navigate it with confidence and grace. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. I